Gamble Show is presented by Grip Auto and Tire, quality service you can trust in 14 locations to serve you. A busy 4 o'clock hour. We've got Luke Shen coming up at the bottom of the hour. Not Saying, Just Saying as well. Your chance to win a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three of your best golf buddies. All right, but coming up right now, he's the general manager of your Vancouver Canucks. A busy couple of weeks for Jim Benning and the Canucks. Lots of moves, and Jim Benning joins us now, the Canucks general manager. Thanks for this, Jim. It's really has been a busy couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've been busy, but I think I'm really, you know, feel good about what we're able to accomplish. You know, going into that whole two-week period, we wanted to, you know, get some cap flexibility. We did that. We wanted to make our team better. I feel we've done that. So we're excited, you know, about all the new players that we've added to our group. And, you know, I guess there's still work to be done. We got to, you know, some contracts to get signed yet. But then after we get that done, I'm looking forward to training camp.
So outside of getting Pettersson and Hughes done, do you feel like this is going to be your roster then for the new season?
I think for the most part, you know, we got to get Jason Dickinson done and Ole Juolevi done too here. And, you know, I think, you know, once we get those things done, we're not going to have a lot of room left. So, but I think, you know, we're a better team. I think we're a deeper team. We're younger. We're faster. You know, we've added some size and strength on the back end. And, you know, to add a player like Halak and goal to, you know, provide stability and support for Thatcher. I think we've, you know, kind of checked all the boxes of things that we wanted to check, you know, as we move through this last couple of weeks.
Jim, as, you know, we get into those discussing those deals in a minute, but I wanted to hit you on the conversation that all of Vancouver's having right now. Elias Pettersson, the contract, can you provide an update on where that currently stands?
Well, we've had some real constructive conversations with Pat Brisson and JP Barrie and their group. You know, we're going to continue to talk and work through things, and, you know, and then at hopefully, you know, the end result is we get these guys signed sooner rather than later. But we'll continue to talk with them and get it figured out.
Is it still trending towards a short-term deal, or are you thinking longer-term?
Well, we're, you know, depending on, you know, I don't usually comment on contract negotiations, but, you know, we're going to work through. They're two important players for us. You know, they're core players in our group. So we're going to, you know, just see what makes sense for us. We'd like to do longer term if we could, but, you know, it's just seeing what makes sense for us and getting things done to try to, you know, make our team, you know, competitive and make sure going forward that, you know, we're in a good salary structure with our young players. So those are all things that we're taking into account. And, you know, I can't say for sure, you know, if they're going to be long-term deals, but, you know, we'd like to try to work through that and do that.
The biggest bet you made today in free agency was on Tucker Pullman signing that four-year contract. And you mentioned in your media availability that you see a lot of Chris Tanev in his play. He has a great presence, good defensively, long stick. But he's only played 120 NHL games. It's a bit of a projection. What is it that makes you confident in making this sort of a bet on Tucker Pullman?
Well, we've watched him now, you know, since he played college hockey at North Dakota. He was a player that we've always liked. And then I thought this year, I thought he really took another step in his game. I thought, you know, he had a good season last year, but then this year again, you know, I thought he played solid, safe hockey. And, you know, with the players that we have on our left side, we just felt like, you know, he's a steady influence on whoever he plays with. And, you know, I don't know exactly where he's going to end up playing or who he's going to end up playing with come training camp or the start of the season. But, you know, I just feel like he, you know, gives us a different look with some of the mobile defensemen we have on the left side.
Well, you do have some offensive-minded defensemen in Hughes, now Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and even Rathbone is trending that way with what we saw of him last year. How much of what you were targeting in free agency and Pullman specifically was about, I guess, finding a stay-at-home type of pair after Nate Schmidt, you know, didn't seem like the best fit at times.
Yeah, and like that's, you know, kind of we looked at, you know, these guys re-signing Hammer. You know, we got Tyler Myers. We signed Luke Shen's a physical stay-at-home guy. You know, Tucker Poolman, we feel is, you know, he's mobile where he can get back, get the puck, move it up ice. But, you know, he's a solid positional player and good defensively. And we just felt that it was a good fit, you know, with those guys playing with some of, you know, the skill sets that our left defensemen have.
Jim, we saw, you know, some defensemen get some pretty decent term on the market. Cody Ceci in Edmonton, of course, Poolman with your team with the Vancouver Canucks. How hard is it to find a top four defenseman in free agency?
Well, it's even seems harder to find right shot defensemen these days. Like, you know, right shot D-men and even, you know, right shooting right wingers. Like, if you go through the teams, there's, for whatever reason, and I don't know why this happens, but you know, to try to find right shot forwards right now, it seems tough. So, you know, we were happy to, we had Brock Besser as our only right shooting, you know, forward. And then getting Connor Garland in the trade that shoots right. And then re-signing Sutter, who's a right shot. Now we got, you know, some flexibility for Sutter on faceoffs and our own end for Travis, where, you know, he can, you know, put out a right shot center on faceoffs and with Besser and Garland right shooting players for the power play. So, and, you know, same with defense. It seems like for whatever reason now it's hard to find, you know, right shooting defensemen. So that was something that we looked at and we tried to add some guys today and over the course of the last couple weeks.
Jim Benning, our guest here on the People's Show. You know, I just listening in on the Zoom call, I know a lot of people were referencing maybe some of the underlying numbers with Tucker Poolman. And, you know, I do find it interesting, you know, a lot of the analytics didn't look kindly on what was going on in Winnipeg last year. I'm wondering if there's something internally that you as an organization see in Poolman that maybe those numbers don't suggest he has in him.
Well, you know, when we kind of targeted him, and, you know, it's we do a lot of legwork on, you know, from, you know, making calls to finding out what type of kid he is. We've had coaches watch a lot of video on him, you know, and we just felt like, you know, he was a good fit, you know, with the players we have on the left side. And so, you know, I think our pro scouts really liked him. We talked to our pro scouts, you know, they really liked his game this year and where he was at. And, you know, we feel like he's an experienced guy now in the league that plays a certain style that, you know, is going to be beneficial to our team.
And one guy who is not coming back, Jim, is Alex Edler. And you guys mentioned that there was some conversation and Alex said he wanted to see what else is out there. Were there any conversations with Alex, you know, at the last minute about perhaps coming back, or was it pretty clear that he was not going to be back a while ago?
Yeah, well, you know, he's never been to free agency before. He explained to us that he'd like to, you know, explore free agency and see what it looked like for him. And, you know, when we were able to make that trade to acquire Ekman Larson, you know, we felt like, you know, OEL is a guy that can play minutes for us, whether it's in a matchup role against the other team's top lines, whether it's on the power play or the PK. So, you know, we left the door open for Alex if he wanted to return, but, he found a deal he liked and signed with another team.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Canucks general manager Jim Benning. And Jim, another player that's not coming back. You pulled off the trade yesterday. Nate Schmidt headed to Winnipeg. Why was this deal necessary from your point of view?
Well, you know, what we wanted to try to do is take some money out of our defense. We're going to, you know, end up, you know, giving Quinn a big contract here. And we wanted to kind of put that money into our forward group. So, you know, that was one of the things that we looked at, and we were going to try to add some size and strength on our back end, some guys that are hard to play against. And, you know, so that's what we ended up doing. And that's why we made the move with Winnipeg.
It was definitely a difficult year. And you mentioned you wanted to be aggressive. You had a lot of cap flexibility, looking into the future. Now you've kind of sacrificed some of that to improve now. How difficult was that balance in knowing and maintaining some cap flexibility, but wanting to improve as much as possible for this season?
Yeah, well, you know, we got all these good young players now that are up for contracts that we need to re-sign. So, you know, I think, you know, moving, doing the deal with Arizona, you know, we moved some contracts out, and I think added, you know, two players that are going to make our team better next year. So, you know, being able to do that, that was kind of the first step in all this that we tried to get accomplished. And, you know, we got Luongo's $3 million on our books this year. That goes away next year, and, you know, we'll have a little bit of money in dead space. But, you know, we've been dealing with the Luongo situation here for the last 3 years.
And, you know, when it comes to this season and the cap space, it all depends on what the RFAs are going to get. But do you foresee having to use LTIR, or could there be a situation where you actually have a little bit of cap space left over and perhaps some of that tagging doesn't have to go to next year?
Yeah, well, we'll just have to see, you know, when we get to contracts with these guys that we need to sign yet. You know, but I would suspect that we'll be in LTI, but, you know, we'll just have to see what the contracts look like in the end.
This is a very aggressive summer, as you mentioned. You made some bold moves in free agency and trades and buyouts. With that comes expectations. What's the measure of success internally in the organization after this offseason?
Well, it was a disappointing year for us, you know, last year. So, you know, I guess the word Travis uses is redemption. We want to come out and, you know, we want to have a good start to the season. I feel like, you know, we're going to have four good lines that, and with lots of flexibility. Travis has, you know, lots of different things he can do with the group. We'll have a lot of competition from within, and, you know, we want to hit the ground running, get off to a good start, and have a good season.
You signed Connor Garland to the longer-term extension just yesterday. As we mentioned off the top, there's been a lot of work to do in these last couple of weeks. But, you know, it's a really interesting player. What gives you the belief that he was ready for this big commitment right out of the gate?
Well, we've watched him, you know, this last couple of years and even at the junior level. And, you know, he's a real competitive kid. You know, he goes to the net hard. He plays with a lot of courage, you know, and he's got a high skill set. So, you know, to be able to add a guy to our top six of his caliber, you know, that's one of the things that we wanted to do, you know, going into the off season, and we were able to do it. We're really excited to have him, you know, and I think he's going to be a fan favorite and a good player for us for a long time.
And Jim, as far as the vibe around the organization after this offseason and the reinvestment and making the team better, how excited are people in the organization? Have you also heard from some players about how they feel about how aggressive you guys have been to improve the team?
Yeah, the players, you know, when we did the trade and, you know, we got OEL and Connor from Arizona, we had a lot of players reach out and want their numbers and, you know, give them a shout and welcome, you know, them to our group. You know, the veteran players I've talked to are excited about, you know, the depth we've added to our team. And, you know, and now I guess is the next, you know, we added 7 new players to our NHL team and 16 total new players to our organization. And, you know, we'll have more signings that come out later today. I like what we've done. You know, with the Abbotsford team, we're going to, if we have injuries, we're going to be able to call up real good players. And, you know, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of drop off this year when we have injuries. We'll have a good team in Abbotsford, you know, which will provide good depth for our NHL team.
Well, you mentioned building out that depth at the AHL level. How much is it easier having the team locally to sell guys on two-way deals and just having, you know, a trip down Highway 1 as a selling point now?
It was like I didn't quite understand the importance of having your team so close, as you know, just to see what happened in the last, you know, couple weeks with, you know, players that, you know, want to come and, you know, like it was like players from, you know, kids that grew up in BC that wanted to come home, play in BC, players that are from Western Canada that wanted to stay out West. And I've never quite seen it before, like depth players, you know, when they'd sign with us before, you know, Utica was so far away from Vancouver that, you know, maybe we couldn't get the high end depth players like we could, but, you know, having our team, you know, in the same vicinity, I think it really opened up a lot of players wanted to sign with us and, you know, want to be part of our organization and our group. So I think that's been a real positive. I'm really excited about, you know, the team that we're going to put together in Abbotsford this year. I think, you know, they're going to be a fun team to watch as, you know, we develop our young players down there and get them ready to play in the NHL.
And Jim, before we let you go, one thing you mentioned in your media availability was you want the team to continue to play the same style they have under Travis Green. And we know this past year they didn't go the way you guys wanted, especially early on style-wise. But with the addition of Brad Shaw, can I explain what your ideal vision of that style is when it's playing at its best?
Well, I thought, you know, when we were in the bubble, we played, you know, it all starts with playing well defensively and, you know, and being solid in your own end. And I thought in the bubble that, you know, we played that style of game and that's a style that you need to play to win. And, you know, and we added some new players, you know, to start last season. We didn't get a lot of practice time, didn't get them on the same page. And, you know, that first 15 games, we really struggled. So, you know, now we're going to have, you know, 7 or 8 new players on our roster. And it's going to be important that, you know, Travis through training camp, get these guys all up to speed with our system play and the way he wants the group to play. And, you know, so when we start the season, we're all on the same page and, you know, we can get off to a good start.
Jim, at the end of the season, you told us, we didn't have all the information on how you were going to make all the pieces fit and work. Do we have all the information now?
I think so. You know, I think that, you know, we wanted to, you know, try to make the team better. I feel we've done that. We wanted, you know, some cap flexibility. You know, I think we've done that. You know, I think we're going to have a young, exciting, fast team this year to watch and should be exciting for the fans. And, you know, I think, you know, hopefully our group's ready to take the next step. We want to be a playoff team, make the playoffs and, you know, have success like we did a couple years ago.
Jim, it's been a wild off season watching how you're making this all fit together. And we're excited to see what the team looks like in September. Thank you for this today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
There is Canucks general manager, Jim Benning. I think he missed what we were referencing, but maybe we remember the you don't have all the information clip a little bit better than he does.
Jim's been just a little busy the past few weeks ever since he made that comment. All he's done is make like a bunch of trades, a few buyouts, a bunch of different signings. He's added like 15 players to the organization, plus a draft. So maybe he's forgotten a lot since then.
Reach, or he just didn't want to humor you. He knows exactly what you're talking about and said, I'm not biting on that.
Every time we've tried to joke with Jim lately, he's just he's not having any of it. He's
aggressive. Jim doesn't joke. Doesn't joke. All
business. Yeah.
He's all business. He's got his sunnies on. Thug life Jim is just getting things done. And, you know, the thing about Abbotsford is really interesting. You know, they're building out that roster and they sign 7 players today to 2-way contracts, including Nick Petan. But, you know, one of the reasons I'm really big on this Canucks offseason, guys.
Okay.
Here we go.
And there's
waiting for this.
There's a lot of people that have been waiting for this today. So I want to make sure that everybody understands how to pronounce this name, including Brendan Batchelor and anybody that might be calling games down in Abbotsford this year. Canucks winger signed a 2-year deal or a 2-way contract today. Phil DiGiuseppe. Not Di Giuseppe or Di Giuseppe. No, Di Giuseppe. That's how you
say it. Di Giuseppe.
Set. Brilliant.
There we go.
Okay.
Italian class is back in session.
Di Giuseppe.
Oh, Randeep. You can tell Randeep's been to Rome, eh?
Just once, twice, yeah.
He's got the baritone to the voice, too. Yeah.
You got to lower the voice a little bit.
There we go. Just sound like you got some Spro and some Zambuca in you. I love it.
You sound like Luca Brasi there, man. That's how deep the voice was.
So I can't wait to get to preseason games with Batch, and I'll teach him how to do Phil DiGiuseppe as we get closer to preseason. But reality, though, is that this it's had a massive impact. Like, the depth that the Canucks have been able to build here, like, okay, DiGiuseppe, Patan, like, those are guys you would imagine are going up and down from the A as you have injuries, but, like, they're players that can, you know, go for a stint in the end and have some success, and we've seen them do that, so... You know, it just feels already that the Canucks are a deeper team today than they were at any point last year or even the last few seasons.
Well, Jim mentioned how nice it is to have Abbey and the quality of players that it attracted, right? And just going through who the Canucks have signed, and that one signing that came in a bit late was Justin Dowling, the center who was with the Dallas Stars organization, a guy in his late 20s, but... You know what? Like, he's been a solid depth player for that Stars organization. He steps in, and every time he plays, he keeps his head above water. He does win matchups from time to time. He does provide a little bit of, you know, all-around depth for you. He's a lot like Travis Boyd, maybe a bit better, actually, overall. So I don't even mind the Justin Dowling signing. And between Patan, Dowling, Bailey, DiGiuseppe, Dries, and just go through those lists of players, that does, in theory, seem a lot better than what the Canucks have had in the past. And then on the back end, having guys like Brady Keeper, Cal Burrows, right? And having Brad Hunt. Yeah, they're not changing the equation for you, but on a lot of teams, those guys have played games, especially a guy like Brad Hunt. He played even some playoff games for the Minnesota Wild a couple of years ago against the Canucks, right? So now you have guys who are actually credible depth players that you are going to use throughout the season. And how much of a difference is that? It may not win you a lot of games, but perhaps having some better depth players you can rely on prevents you from losing as many games when you hit injuries.
Yeah, well, guys that have been there and done that, especially for Abbotsford, you want a couple of things. You want veterans because you know having players that have played in the AHL, that's going to mean something to them. Those are guys that are fighting for their spot or getting back in the big show. The other thing there is you want to be in a position where you're willing to attract and being able to attract veteran players. And a part of this is those late 20s players, guys, they are, have families. They're trying to see where they can go and they can, bring their families along. They don't have to disrupt their family life, right? When we talk about Utica, it was great, a great hockey community. But if you're a fringe NHL player that's looking to see if that's the spot for you, it doesn't make much sense based on the fact that you'd be, where would your family stay? At their current home or their NHL city, the AHL city. Now, all of a sudden, you can take your family and sign in Abbotsford or Vancouver for that matter and be happy with it because you're in that same location. It's not disrupting your home life. So those guys that you mentioned in their late 20s or early 30s like Brad Hunt, it's an easy decision for them because you're not disrupting that much in their home life.
It is the People Show coming up. One of those other pieces that Jim Benning got done today, Luke Shen returning to the Vancouver Canucks and returning to the People Show next here on Sportsnet 650. People Show is presented by Grip Auto and Tire, quality service you can trust and 14 locations to serve you. Not Saying Just Saying is coming up shortly. Your chance to win a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three golf buddies. Now joining us, fresh off signing a two-year deal to return with the Vancouver Canucks, it is Luke Shen. Now, Luke, we had you on last week. You could have told us this was in the works.
No, nothing is official or done, but yeah, no, I'm super excited to obviously come back. And I was there a short stint, obviously, a couple of years ago, and loved every minute of it, and couldn't be more excited to come back and join the organization and move back to the city. We're really excited.
Well, it's one of those things, because I remember talking to you, Luke, in the locker room after you got called. You came to Vancouver in that trade, and you played some of those games late in the season, and how hard you had worked in San Diego to rebuild your game or reinvent yourself. You got better at, you got a bit quicker with your skating, your skills developed a bit, and as good as, you know, you were with Tampa Bay, not a ton of playing time because of how good that team was, except for last year. You got 38 games and you played in the postseason as well. How excited are you that the work you've put in, you might get a chance here in Vancouver to maybe put it all together on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's no guarantees. Every day you show up to the rink, you gotta earn it and perform every day. And it was no different kind of what it's been the last few years. So just because you get a contract and a two-year deal doesn't mean that anything's going to be given. So, yeah, it's going to be a good test. And obviously, there's a lot of competition coming in. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, over the last couple of years, I've continued to put a lot of work in and, you know, try to figure out different ways to kind of evolve the game. I don't know if you can ever, like I said, totally reinvent yourself. It's sometimes, you know, guys are built a certain way and have a certain skill set, but you can always find ways to tweak things and, like I said, get better and improve. And, you know, you always got to continue to work at your game. And, you know, it's tough competition out there. But like you said, really excited to get back to Vancouver. And, you know, it's I love every minute being there beforehand. And, you know, I think they've made obviously a lot of great moves and going to be a really competitive team. And excited to be a part of it and help the guys take the next step.
You're coming off a couple of one-year deals in Tampa Bay, which worked out very well for you. You got two Stanley Cups as a result. But, you know, how good is it to get a two-year deal and some security over the next couple of years here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you go to a winning organization, a winning team, everyone looks better, right? So, I mean, I was obviously lucky and fortunate to be a part of Tampa the last 2 years, and it was a great experience, unbelievable organization top to bottom. And, you know, you're playing with a lot of elite players every night. And like I said, everyone kind of has a role there, and everyone can kind of, you know, play to their strengths when you have a deep team like that. So, I mean, I was lucky to be a part of that. And, you know, you win a couple of cups and everyone kind of wants that guy with experience and sort of a track record that's won before. So, yeah, it's you know, sometimes free agency has kind of been a little bit different at times. But, yeah, there was some two-year offers out there. And, you know, Vancouver, like I said, I've always wanted to come back, and I just always thought it was a great fit. I love playing for Greener and Bomber, you know, on the back end there running the D. And, like I said, I've got a lot of good relationships with a lot of the players, even though I was there for such a short time. It's always been in the back of my mind to come back, and, you know, it's really lucky to come back after, like I said, the 2 years I just had in Tampa.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, you know, just, you know, all the details on what it is that really sold you on coming back to Vancouver. As you mentioned, there were some other offers out there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you're looking at a bunch of different things. You know, I think, like I said, it was just the overall experience I had before. I think the one thing I've realized, you know, over the course of my career, it's nice to go to a spot where you have familiarity with, you know, coaching staff. I think that's a big thing. And like I said, I have a great relationship with Greener, and him and Bomber, you know, treated me awesome when I was in Vancouver. And, you know, at the end of the day too, like Jim Benning traded for me when I was in a tough situation in Anaheim. And, you know, I owe a lot to him to kind of get me, he was able to get me out of kind of that tough spot I was in. And like I said, provide an opportunity. So, you know, I obviously would never forget the opportunity I was given there to kind of get a second chance and revive things a little bit. And on top of that, you know, they made a lot of great moves. They've obviously brought in OEL, who I played with in Arizona before, you know, brought in Garland, and, you know, they have some good veteran players there, a lot of good young guys that are taking the next step. And I think there's a lot of, you know, internal want and pressure within the organization to do well. And you want to be a part of that. I mean, the expectations are high, and everyone knows that. And you wouldn't go there if you didn't want to be a part of that. So, like I said, I'm excited. I know what the market's like. I know what it's like being in Canada, being especially living in Kelowna in the summer. It's everyone talks Canucks every day, and I want to be a part of that. And I want to be a part of, you know, the solution there to help, like I said, continue to push things forward around there.
You mentioned that you played with Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland, and you and Garland actually played on the Tucson Roadrunners a little bit together too. And that's, you know, I think it was early on in Garland's pro career, and it took him a couple of years to kind of figure it out. What is it like to see how much he's progressed from you guys playing together in the AHL to him becoming a bona fide top six forward who just signed a big deal?
Actually, I never did play with Garland. I didn't play in Tucson, but I know him from training camp there. But I know him a little bit. I never did get the chance to play with him. He was in Tucson when I was up with Arizona for a couple of years. But I know from training camp, probably a couple of preseason games with him. I always remember just even like pre-training camp, how, you know, he's always on the puck and just working so hard to always get it back. And, you know, one of those guys that just kind of finds holes. You know, he's good at little give and go plays down low. He's got some speed in the neutral zone, obviously, and finds corners, picks corners on goalies, and, you know, can bury the puck. So played against him, obviously, too, in Arizona, and I always found him extremely difficult to play against just because he's hard on the puck for, you know, everyone obviously talks about probably his size, but it's kind of like a Marty St. Louis type, honestly, where you just kind of have a guy who's small and flying around out there and making plays hard on the puck and just you kind of relentless work ethic. And then to answer your question about OEL, I had a chance to play with him quite a bit in Arizona over the couple of years I was there. And, you know, he's a great player, extremely skilled, obviously, can shoot, can move the puck. I think, you know, obviously he's got a lot of game left, and I think that, you know, the best thing for him is to probably, you know, get a change of scenery. And lucky enough, you know, Vancouver is the place where he found a home, and, you know, I think he's going to do extremely good.
Yeah, a bit of a reunion for you and Tyler Myers as well, because you played junior together. Now you're on the same NHL team. You guys still keep in touch living there in Kelowna, and how forward are you looking to reuniting with him?
Yeah, we've come a long way, full circle, actually. When I played in Kelowna, I was a year older than Myers. I was drafted the year before him. And when he first got called up, I think he was playing maybe in Notre Dame, Saskatchewan, and he got called up for a bit. He actually lived with me in my billet's house. So we've been together, you know, or known each other since I think he was 15 or 16 and I was 17. So, yeah, we go back a long ways, always kept in touch. We're good buddies. He's obviously here in Kelowna in the summer, too. We skate together. And like I said, always keep in touch. He's a good guy. And, yeah, it's nice to keep adding these Western boys into the mix.
You know, it is quite apparent that, you know, one of the things Jim was looking for, you know, with Quinn Hughes, who's, as you know, from playing with him, he's got a lot of, he's a bit of a rover. He can do a lot with the puck offensively. Jack Rathbone, from what we've seen of him as well, is kind of like that. Oliver's great offensively. And then you come in, Tucker Pullman as well, Travis Hamonic. Is it the fit of having more of a stay-at-home defenseman with the offensive type? Is that something that you feel really meshes in a lot of scenarios?
Well, I think you got to play, obviously, both ends of the ice. I mean, the one thing I've learned being in Tampa Bay is, you know, you can talk about offense and creating off the rush and jumping in the play all you want, but in reality, what wins is, you know, being able to defend, and that's, you know, taking care of the front of the net. That's, you know, cutting off cycles and, you know, pinning forwards against the glass and just moving the puck. So, you know, and then from a defensive standpoint too, you got to be able at times to get up in the play and move the puck and get into the forward's hand. So I think everything goes hand in hand, but there's no question. Like you said, Quinn Hughes, I played with him for whatever it was, 6-7 games when he first, you know, got called up to the Canucks. And, you know, I love playing with him. He's obviously one of the most skilled offensive guys and puck movers I've ever played with. I mean, he can snap the puck up the ice like no other and, you know, dances on the blue line. So, yeah, he's got a great skill set, and as is OEL. And I don't know Rathbone great, but I heard similar things. But, yeah, I mean, it's everyone's got to play both ends of the ice to win, and that's the difference. And just try to help out on that side of things.
Well, you've known Quinn for quite some time, even going back to Toronto when he was a little kid coming in to the locker room and stuff. Have you talked to him since signing with the Canucks?
Yeah, I did. Something happened where I think it kind of, you know, there's some stuff floating around a couple of days ago where it could be linked to coming back. And obviously there's no decisions made. And, you know, you're talking to other teams at that point. But he did text me, and he said that someone, you know, passed it along to him. He was asking if it was true. And obviously couldn't say one way or another, but yeah, he was pretty fired up and texted me. And like I said, it was kind of a, you know, a cool relationship we had where I met him and his brother, I think, when I played in Toronto, and they're, you know, young kids, probably, I can't remember the age, but probably under the age of 10. And his dad was working player development for the Leafs. And that's where I first met those brothers. And, you know, come full circle, he gets called up to play with the Canucks. And, I'm the veteran guy that gets paired along him, and I was just blown away, like I said, his skill set and his composure and compete and sort of the whole package out there. And it was a short sort of stint we had together before, you know, I went on to Tampa, but I've been obviously following his career real closely and the whole Canucks, you know, team the last couple of years, and seen what he's done in the league. And you know, he's not a secret anymore, that's for sure. Everyone kind of is aware of him and knows how good he is, and we've kept in touch over the years, and I'm definitely happy to get the chance to go back and play with guys like that.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Canucks defenseman Luke Shen. And Luke, you referenced a couple of times that, hey, Travis Green's a good coach and you really like playing for him. You've played for some great coaches, John Cooper being the latest. What makes Green such a good coach in your eyes and players' eyes?
I think he's got a good relationship with players. I think at the end of the day, like, you know, coaching, you can kind of break down systems a million different ways or do video and, you know, go crazy with that sort of stuff and X's and O's. Obviously, you got to, you know, being a coach, you got to be able to make adjustments, whether it's between games, team to team, or, you know, in-game adjustments on the bench or in the period. But I think a lot of it is communicating or communications with players. And that's one thing that I really enjoyed about him is, you know, I walked in, it was pretty black and white where I stood. He wasn't beating around the bush, and that's one thing you appreciate as a player. It's, you know, if this is what you think of you, then that's great. And hey, is there any way of maybe improving the situation or getting better, or what can I do to help out? And he gives you the answer or gives you the solution to do that. And if you can do it, then you kind of get rewarded for it. I think that's, you know, what makes good coaching is, you know, just that communication. So he was always very clear and upfront with me, and I really appreciated that. And like I said, he's a great coach, and I think he's done good things with the team. And like everyone, we all want to take the next step together.
Obviously, winning the Stanley Cup a couple times with the Tampa Bay Lightning was the big takeaway. But after being part of an organization like that, it may be a new age dynasty. What's the biggest thing you learned being at that organization for a couple of years?
Well, there's a lot of different things. Obviously, you learn being around guys like that day to day. I think, like, the professionalism and probably the consistency on a day-to-day basis. You know, you never really know coming off of a loss or a win on like what guys are doing. It was always kind of like the same sort of mindset going in throughout the season. And obviously it could be a grind at times, but guys are always committed to it. And that was the one thing we always talked about is like process over outcome. So it's always kind of like the day-to-day process. And that's one thing I learned. Guys are consistent and, you know, every game, like, it's the top guys that bring it and everyone else follows. It's obviously the Stamkoses, Hedmans, Kucherovs, McDonoughs, Vasi every night. Like, guys bring it every night, and everyone else kind of follows their lead. So it starts obviously with the top, and you got a game plan going in, and everyone thinks that, you know, it's the high-flying Tampa Bay Lightning creating them, you know, points and winning games by outscoring teams. But in reality, the last 2 years, everyone figured out how to play the right way and commit to the system and defend the right way. And we were solid, obviously, throughout the four forward lines, big, heavy D core, and a great goaltender. So there's a ton to learn. And, you know, when you're playing with really probably four or five future Hall of Famers every day, you know, you just watch the way they conduct themselves. And it was special to be a part of.
Luke, it's always a pleasure getting to talk hockey with you. Glad you're coming out to Vancouver. And so is this texter, Brad in Victoria, saying Shen's going to bring in a maroon-like cup streak to Vancouver. Let's go.
Yeah, that's pretty special. It's been me and Braden were just following Patty around for a while. We ended up getting it 3 years in a row. So that we should get big rig out west. That'd be awesome. But no, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Luke. There is Luke Shen signing a 2-year deal with the Vancouver Canucks. And the Dunbar Lumber text line absolutely loving Luke Shen already.
Of course. He's a fantastic interview, right? Like, he is. And his perspective, he's learned a lot. And honestly, I'm really excited for him, right? And, you know, is he going to be able to play every day here? He's going to get a chance. He's going to be fighting for a spot here on this blue line, right? Can he beat out maybe somebody like Tucker Pullman on that right side who got a big deal? We'll see. Either way, he's ready to do just about anything. And coming out of that organization he was a part of, I think he's going to help bring something to this organization that they've been lacking as far as professionalism goes with a lot of their depth players.
All right, it's time for Not Saying, Just Saying here on The People Show. Hit me with the music, Joel. Not Saying, Just Saying, a opportunity for you to win a Vancouver Discount Golf Card for you and three buddies. Vancouver Discount Golf Card, again, for you and three friends. All right, let's start with Mike and Tawasin. Not saying Sat has all the answers, just saying can't win them all.
Tough. I don't know. I was looking at Tucson Roadrunners and Connor Garland. I was looking for an overlap because they didn't play together in Phoenix, and I messed up the San Diego Gulls with the Tucson Roadrunners. That's my mistake.
Hey, he's played for a lot of teams. Let's be honest. Luke's a great guy. He's played for a lot of teams. It's not difficult to get that confused. But my not saying just saying is Luke Shen related. Not saying Luke Shen is going to be a fixture in the Canucks lineup. I'm just saying he needs to be a part of the big club because he might be the best interview on the team. I'm saying it. I think he is the best interview on the team.
I mean, we'll have to talk to some of the new guys. Maybe we'll talk to Tucker Pullman pretty soon. Connor Garland's been pretty good when we've had the chance to speak with him. So there's some competition there. Just going to throw it out there. There's some competition.
He's up there, though. He has fun, but at the same time, he's kind of one of those guys that's going to give you a meaningful, thoughtful answer, right? So, hey, he's in the running for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, man. Like, he's a good dude. And one thing, I mean, you're not making these signings just to bring culture in, but one of the things they wanted to change here with this organization this offseason, too, was a breath of fresh air. Have guys around that are really happy being around all the time, and he's going to help play his part there.
Not saying, just saying, your chance to win a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three friends. We have some more coming in. Some we, as usual, cannot read, but we do appreciate all the texts that are coming in. I did see one earlier that said, not saying Jim Benning should be fired for signing Phil DiGiuseppe. Just saying, now we have to listen to Dan say that name constantly.
Well, there is an out here. If he's playing a lot in Abbotsford and he doesn't get called up, you might be okay, listeners. But hey, if he makes the NHL club, Dan, honestly, if he's in Abbotsford, you're still going to say his name, right?
Probably.
Sat's
He'll
gonna
find
bear,
a reason.
Sat's going to bear the brunt of it when we're doing post-game shows together, and I'm just like, hey.
Yeah, call up DiGiuseppe. Why aren't you calling him up?
Did you see the 7 minutes from DiGiuseppe tonight? It was great.
Every game, if he's in the minors, why aren't they calling up DiGiuseppe? Why is this not happening? I don't understand this.
We got this unsigned text, guys. Anyways. Okay.
Right, hey, why not? Hey, I didn't get Jajad Kata in Vancouver, so at least you got Phil DiGiuseppe. I'm not saying Jim is synonymous with vindication. I'm just saying I'm eating crow. That's a text unsigned on the text inbox. Yeah, Jim Benning went thug life. He went the sunglasses. He pulled off some moves. Whether they end up being good ones or not, we now have all the information, guys.
We do. I'm not saying the Arizona Coyotes have every single pick in the 2022 draft, but after trading Darcy Kemper to the Colorado Avalanche for a first-round pick and Connor Timmins, they now have two first-round picks and five second-round picks in next year's draft. Seven picks in the top 64.
It's pretty impressive. Nice job from Bill Armstrong there. You know, hey, you got a rebuild, and I mean, he's done a lot more rebuilding than we expected. You know, I didn't know he could pull all of these draft picks out, but he has, and he's done a pretty good job with the assets they've had there in Arizona. I think one of my winners coming out of the offseason so far, given what their plan was and how they've executed it. JD in Coquitlam, I'm not saying that the Canucks don't have a plan. I'm just saying it seems like today was the day they've been living for. Hey, this was the offseason they've been living for. You know what? Jim said he had a plan. He was aggressive. He said very aggressively to us, you don't have all the information. And he's wheeled, he's dealed, and he's put together a pretty darn good roster here. I know there's question marks on D, but there's a lot of teams that got question marks on D. Canucks, they're, as we said off the top, much better team. I think they're a playoff team for next year.
Okay, but Jamie and Chilliwack a little bit more pessimistic. Not saying, just saying. Instead of having a sea of Granlunds up forward, we now have a pool of Pullmans at defense.
That's well played, though.
That's so good.
That's good. Jay and East Van, not saying the Canucks were standing outside alone, drowning in their tears while other teams had fun with their partners they had found, then took a desperate run at the last girl leaving the free agent dance last offseason. Just saying, Trader Jim got his groove back. Jay and East Van.
Oh, gotta love it.
Well, Wasn't that a movie back in the days, How Stella Got Her Groove Back or something?
I think so.
Jake in England, I'm not saying Arizona Coyotes are bad next year, but they should just go to the AHL and stay there.
Wish they had relegation like England does.
Yeah. But, guys, if I'm a Leafs fan, I'm scared. Because you know they're coming for Austin Matthews with that cap space in a couple of years. You know they are. If they're still in the NHL.
This is a good one. Unsigned. Always sign your text, especially if you want to win the Vancouver Discount Golf Card. Not saying Greener is a bad nickname, just saying Rathbone better tread carefully.
That's really good. That's fantastic. This one, unsigned. I'm not saying Jimbo's been perfect. I'm just saying he's been levels above since Lindon left.
Ooh.
Okay, so autonomy or more autonomy means he's a better GM potentially? All right, okay. Another text message, unsigned. Please put your name on it. I'm not saying Vancouver will win the Pacific Division. I'm just saying it won't be the Kraken, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what are the Kraken doing, by the way? What are they doing? Do we know?
That is a great question. Coming up after the break, we'll get into some of our, winners and losers of the offseason thus far. What team do we like what they did? What team are we saying, what the heck is going on over there? We'll discuss that coming up next and announce our winner for the Vancouver Discount Golf Card through Not Saying, Just Saying. It's the People's Show. That's next on Sportsnet 650.